following the disturbing discovery that Central Admin has made a mistake and wants to kill him off a year early, 69-year-old George Smith has become an unwilling activist for the old-age paramilitaries. But now the whole of civilization hangs in the balance.
Citizens past, customers future. My name is George Smith.
Ah, what have we here?
It's a streaker.
Streaker indeed it is, of a female variety. I say, it's not the most fulsome of her. Well, actually, she looks about 70.
What a game old bird.
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace by Colin Walsh.
Ask anyone what they were doing when they heard that Mrs. Cookson had done a streak and they'd be able to tell you. There could be little doubt that the simple act of getting her kit off at a major sporting event had energized the political climate in a way which her previous 13 years of passionately reasoned economic argument had utterly failed to do. Mrs. Cookson was sentenced to be executed, just as soon as she was well enough, on This Was Your Life. In the meantime, the authorities produced a series of party political adverts to underline the finer points of their current economic policy.
Zero taxation. Zero inflation. This miracle is economic. You sexy thing. 100% growth. 100% feel good factor. All you have to do is leave us on your 70th birthday. You sexy thing.
Mrs. Cookson.
Yes, dear?
I'm Dave Lusterhuysen, tonight's producer. How do you do?
How do you do?
You've seen This Was Your Life before, presumably.
I have, yes.
So you know what to expect.
Death?
Yeah, but this is a special, so we've tinkered with the format a bit. But actually, I just came to say one thing. Famous last words.
Yes?
I mean, I don't know, obviously, but I wouldn't mind betting there are a lot of people up there in paradise going, now why didn't I say that?
Don't you worry, dear.
So, we always give our guests a chance to look at this.
I see.
It's a list of famous people's dying words, in case it sparks something off, you see. I shall hear in heaven, that's Beethoven. I must sleep now, Lord Byron. Phone hello, Duchess of York. Ah, any idea what Henry VIII said? No? Monks, monks, monks. I mean, you can go surreal if you like, but tends to lose the audience.
Several centuries ago, by what some historical commentators refer to as a pleasing irony, the nation's Houses of Parliament had been converted into TV studios. Ever since Mrs. Cookson's arrival for the show, age cops guarded the building at every entrance. And where were we? A rescue party? 20 feet under, right beneath the mob. The underground tunnel was a long-forgotten secret, running between one of the dressing rooms at Paradise TV and the crypt in Westminster Abbey.
Follow me. It's this way.
Great leadership, Wilma P.
I'm sorry.
We're in a tunnel. How many different ways can we go?
Come on, you two. Stop bickering. All for one and one for all.
I know that catchphrase. What show's it from? Oh, my mobile.
It works underground? Ooh, that's good.
Well, Phony are the best. I do their voiceovers. You know, Phony are the best. Hello, it's me, Wilma P. Jerry, hi. Oh, that's funny. We were just talking about them. They what? But it's an exciting change. I see. No, Jerry, I'm fine. Absolutely fine, Jerry. I'm fine. Bye. Stop.
That phone's not going to work again.
They cancelled my contract. Apparently a revolutionary face runs counter to the Phony Phone image.
Hey, good for you, Wilma P. You show those fascist pigs.
It is not good for me.
The end of the tunnel. What now?
It's not a mud bath.
We're inside a wardrobe.
Be very, very quiet.
Ah, oh.
Shh. There's something in my hair. Here, give me that torch.
Oh, cool, Wamapi. It's just a coat hanger. There you go.
Thank you.
There's a keyhole down here.
Anyone out there?
I can't see anyone. Hey! I know that teddy bear. This must be Doris's dressing room.
Quiet! I can hear voices.
Oh, yes.
Lighten up, knuckleheads. It's the television.
Andrea was right. The TV set in the corner of the room was showing the latest omnibus installment of Robo-Neighbours, a computer-written soap with an all-robot cast which had been running for 376 years. Their performances were the model of consistency.
Face it, Alice. We've been living a lie.
Okay, I have been drinking. But only to help me forget what a pig I married.
That does it. I am leaving.
Let's go, guys. I'm getting involved.
Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
It's a bit morbid, Mrs. Cookson.
It's John Donne.
And 7 seconds too long. You can tell he never wrote for television. Excuse me, this is private.
A minute, mister. You okay, Mrs. C?
Andrea, George.
Hello.
Wilma P.
Dave. Hi.
Let's get out of here. Steel yourself, mister. I know a karate chop hurts, but count your blessings. I used to carry a gun.
No! I'll tie him up.
Oh, come on.
You two, you get Mrs. Cookson safely down the tunnel. I'll be with you in a minute.
Come along, Andrea.
Hand me that necktie, Mr. Lusterhausen. Dave.
Wilma P.
I think I made a very bad career move.
Before finding fame as a TV presenter, I'd never eaten out much. But nowadays I could book tables at all the finest restaurants at the simple mention of the name Smith.
So, tell me, Doris, how have the rehearsals been going?
Good, thank you, Hector. Apart from a cock-up over the Paradise Pills. The researcher standing in for Mrs. Cookson in the run-through was given a real one somehow.
Dead?
Rather.
No news from George?
Not even a good luck card. I got one from Wilma P., though. Here, look what she wrote.
Break a neck.
It's an old showbiz greeting. Hector, do you want me to cut your food up for you?
No! Sorry, Doris, no. Thank you.
It looks hard with one hand.
Yes, well, I have George to thank for that.
You know, Hector, I'm very cross with George. He never used to be the sort of person to release tigers on people. No one could be more surprised than me.
I think I probably was, actually.
And it's good that you can joke about it.
Who's joking?
Well, as Oscar Wilde might have said, to lose one limb to a tiger may be regarded as a misfortune.
Yes, Doris.
To lose two looks like carelessness.
Thank you, Doris.
But to lose three...
is bloody painful and inconvenient.
Hector? Language? You should let me help you more, Hector.
Now, why would you like to help an old, mono-limbed, zero-ped like me? Come on, Doris. Let's get back to the studio.
Love. You, Fred. You don't know the meaning of the word.
Alice, I don't know what anything means anymore.
Here we are, Mrs. Cookson. It's through this wardrobe.
Should we wait for Wilma P?
Oh, we never should have left her back there.
I think you're right. Let's go.
After you.
Oh, cheers, George.
You see less and less of that these days. A gentleman opening a wardrobe for a lady. George, is that you?
Doris.
What are you doing in my wardrobe?
I'm here with the OAPs. Doris, did you set that off?
No, George, I didn't.
We've rescued Mrs. Cookson.
What?
Doris, sorry to burst in on you, but... Well, well, well. Guards, take him to casualty.
Casualty?
Hector, no!
Focus, Doris. Focus. You have a show to do.
Casualty, it transpired, was the nickname for the studio doctor's surgery. As I was marched along the corridor, O'Connell powered ahead.
Okay, boys, stay outside. So, George, How do you like my legs?
They're very sleek.
Sleek? So you like them? And what about this arm?
That hurts.
Really? I can't feel a thing. And yet it could crush your skull awfully, awfully easily.
What happened?
Oh, didn't you hear? Some idiot set a tiger on me.
Oh.
Is that all you've got to say, George?
Oh.
Magnificent contraption. The leg. All the interlocking joints, all the muscles pulling together. The ligaments, the nerves to keep your balance. Waggle your toes, George.
I'm sorry?
I said waggle your toes, George. You... Now.
I'm waggling.
How does it feel?
Well, it's all right.
It's all right? All right? Don't you appreciate what you've got there? Legs, George. You've got legs. And for legs, read economic system.
Huh?
You never appreciate what you've got, do you? Always on the lookout for more, more, more. 70 years, George. 70 damn good years is what we offer people. There's a time limit on all of us, but we know we're going to enjoy every minute. So what do you and your OAP friends do? Show a bit of gratitude for what you've got? No! You hark back to some non-existent golden age when people lived for as long as they could. But some were beggars back then, George. Some had no homes, freezing on the pavements, George. Some had no jobs, George. Some were sick and needed treatment that they never got, George. But everyone lived as long as they liked, George. Sounds like paradise.
I'm sorry about the tiger, O'Connell.
You know what this is, George?
Yes. Not much larger than an aspirin, striped with the colours of the rainbow, and on both sides a small white letter P outlined in black. The paradise pill.
The OAPs have shaken a few people's confidence in the system. It's important we show them who's boss. Now, it shouldn't take us too long to find an old woman in a wardrobe, should it? But if we can't, well, I'm afraid you've signed your own death warrant.
Oh.
Dr. O'Connell, something tells me you haven't caught them.
There's a manhole in the middle of the tunnel.
And?
There must be somewhere within the studio railings.
Well, find them.
Yes, Dr. O'Connell, sir.
I don't know why you're looking so pleased, George, my old trooper. The show must go on.
On numerous screens as I was marched down the corridor, Robo Neighbours was coming to another cliffhanging conclusion.
Don't lie to me, Fred. You always love Susan.
No, Alice. I am in love with Rupert.
Oh, Fred.
Hello, I'm Lindsay, and you must be George.
Yes. Whoa! I was flung unceremoniously into makeup.
Would you like to look pale and worried, or ruddy and defiant?
I'm not that bothered, actually.
George?
Doris!
We've got to talk.
What are we going to do?
Go ahead with the show.
What?
There's no way out of it now.
Well, I think it's worth a few more minutes thought.
If you'll let me finish, George. I've got a plan. It's risky, but it's the best chance we've got.
No good. Talking the show through, are we? Excellent. Has Doris warned you about your buddies yet, George?
Andrea, Mrs. Cookson.
Not your real friends, the actors. They were booked to be friends of Mrs. Cookson, so they're beavering away like mad on some last-minute revisions. Just look pleased to see them all.
Why should I?
Or don't, George. Make a big OAP speech if you want, but it's not what the public want. And I'm not sure it will be terribly good news for Doris, either.
Don't you worry about me, George.
Come along, George. It's time to put you in situ.
Good luck, George. Trust me.
Two age cops thrust me through a soundproof door and we followed O'Connell up a long flight of metal stairs. O'Connell took them 7 at a time. very top was a chair, a black leather chair with straps for the arms and legs. I was pushed into it, powerless. I could hear the audience quite close by, but I couldn't see them. All I could see of the horribly, horribly familiar This Was Your Life set was on a small TV screen by my side.
Comfy, George?
Not really.
Good. What went wrong with you, eh, George?
With me? What about you?
I was chosen, George, many, many moons ago. One doesn't have much say in the matter. Not that I regret it, mind. Unlike you, George, I believe in the system.
I used to.
Yes, and then you rebelled. Which is why Central Genetics are so keen to carve you up.
Huh?
Oh, don't worry, we'll kill you first. Central Genetics want to know more about free will, George. You weren't designed to rebel. They want to have a rummage around and find out what it is you've got. Not a lot, in my opinion.
Oh, no? So how come I joined the OAPs, hmm? How come I've risked my life to try and help others?
Don't come all worthy with me, George. It took you until your 69th birthday to even think about it. When it comes to shaping your life, you've shown about as much free will as a jellyfish. And I don't mean that as a criticism. Just a fact.
Once Lindsay had finished with me in makeup, I sneaked into Casualty to put my plan into operation. There in the cupboard were the two bottles of Paradise pills, one marked rehearsal, the other marked live. It, of course, meant death if you took one. The sort of joke only doctors find amusing. My plan was simple, to switch labels, so that the Paradise pill brought out for George would be a rehearsal pill, one that only knocked the soldiers out for 2 minutes, while the cameras perfected their close-ups on tongue and eyelids.
Unable to move, I watched on the small screen beside me a rather hastily thrown together compilation of my life. They used a lot of extremely dull photographs where I'm sure with a bit more effort they could have found some decent moving footage, or perhaps there was a cost implication. The only piece of film they had was at the dead of night, Wilma P. Random and a camera crew outside my home a year too early on my 69th birthday.
Careful, Carrie, you're in shock.
Shh, someone's coming.
Oh, no, I don't believe it.
Out of the way, Bozo. Bring, guys. Go, go, go.
Wait, everybody, look who's here.
George. George Smith. I'm Wilma P. Random, and this was your life.
For a moment, watching telly, I'd almost forgotten where I was. But suddenly, I found myself shooting through a black curtain and from the back of the studio, flying high above the audience's heads towards the set. This was obviously where the money had been spent.
And here's your host, Wilma P. Random!
Wilma P.? Where was Doris? Something pretty dramatic must have happened for such a late substitution. Had Doris perhaps faked a sudden illness? Was that part of her plan? Or had she been caught?
George Smith, welcome to Planet Earth!
Damn bottle.
Dr. O'Connell, I presume.
Miss Sunbeam and Mrs. Cookson.
Stop the show, O'Connell.
Sorry, old lady, out of my hands. My hand.
Why isn't Doris doing it? Where is she?
Oh, around.
You tampering with some bottles, Mr. Medicine Man?
Re-tampering, as it happens. Someone has been switching the labels.
Rehearsal? Live. Quite a difference, I should imagine.
Just a little. Rehearsal pills knock you out for 2 minutes. Live pills...
knock you out for good?
Send you to paradise.
So which is which?
Now there's a question.
Well, pretty well everyone will have an image of George as a member of a leading terrorist organisation, but rather fewer will be aware of his fondness for practical jokes. And I know I'll never forget the time, and I'm sure nor will he, when...
Time was passing dreadfully slowly.
Where was Doris?
The next day he actually ate the grapefruit.
Lovely, lovely story. AK, let's meet the last of Mrs. Cookson's... sorry, the last of George's old friends. So, George, do you recognize this voice.
Oh, George! George!
Doris!
Indeed, overcome with emotion on this quite extraordinary evening, and who can blame her, your ex-fiancé, host of Strip University Challenge, Doris Smith!
Poor Doris looked even worse than she sounded. She was supported, or was it held, by an age cop on either side?
Hit us with your story, honey.
Well, one story I'll never forget, George, happened very, very recently at Dr. O'Connell's house, when he offered you a beer and you asked for a bottle of pills.
You sure you got the right story here, Doris?
But then you didn't want the pills, so I tried to swap the bottles round. But I couldn't because Dr.
Doris, we have simply got to take a break there.
Doris's story, which, to be honest, rang no bells with me, was going all over the place. There was no punchline in sight, nothing.
I'm sorry, George. I'm so sorry.
Doris's plan had failed. That was when I knew there was no hope.
Doris! Marry me! Say, I do!
Well, drama or no, we'll be back for some heart-stopping, tear-dropping, paradise pill-popping after the break.
How long left? Minutes? Seconds? As soon as the ads were over, that would be the time to unleash a heroic speech denouncing the authorities to the viewing millions. Might one brave shout of long live the OAPs, long live Mrs. Cookson become a critical moment in history, the turning point of the revolution? I'd be in history books, except what would become of Doris? My heroics could mean her suffering. Minutes, seconds to live and still choices. Choices.
You do know which bottle is which, don't you, O'Connell?
Oh, I do, yes. But it's not my problem, is it?
It is, O'Connell, because you're taking a pill right now. So, are these the rehearsal pills? Or these?
A glass of water, please.
I want to see you drink it, O'Connell.
Of course. Bottoms up. You know, Mrs. Cookson, no system is perfect, but I believe in this one.
Do you believe in God, then? And paradise?
Whether or not God exists is immaterial. The fact is, he works. Paradise? Our desire for life after death. It's one of the sweet things about being human, isn't it? An ability to hope way, way beyond the odds.
Do you suppose that's why we like stories with happy endings? To make up for the fact of death.
You really can't blame a man for believing in paradise.
Welcome back to This Was Your Life, starring me, Wilma P. Random, and him, George Smith. Okay, George, ready or not, here's Nancy!
Onto the stage came the nurse, pushing the famous golden trolley, laden with a single glass and a single bottle of water. And there, as ever, on that red velvet cushion, the paradise pill. History or Doris? The bottle of water was unscrewed. The water was poured into the glass. And in went the paradise pill.
George Smith, this was your life.
My gaze was so fixed on the paradise pill that it was only when the glass was passed to me that I saw the nurse's face.
Drink up, old man.
Andrea Sunbeam winked. And even while skipping away from death's door, I couldn't help noticing that the nurse's outfit really suited her. I winked back and swigged the fizzing, sugary, sweet glassful down in one. She got to the pills and switched them. With newfound confidence surging through my veins, I tilted my head towards the audience. Why do we always demand more, not less? Why does every economic theory have to assume that? With more generosity by saying no to more, we could raise everyone's date of death by a year, maybe more, to 75 or 80. That's what I was going to say, roughly.
Everybody! We want more all the time, don't we? We don't appreciate what we've got. Like legs. Dr. O'Connell's legs. How often do we glide through life on automatic pilot without stopping to waggle our toes and say, thank you to God, if you like, or to the air. But waggle those toes and say, thank you. Waggle.
The room was spinning. Dr. O'Connell, I'm truly sorry about the tiger. Waggle.
Dr. O'Connell? Dr. O'Connell! Dr. O'Connell! Dr. O'Connell.
Waggle! Waggle!
Waggle!
Talk about frustrating. In my moment of triumph, words failed me. Words about challenging the old assumptions and creating your own personal morality, showing God, you can make it alone. That's how we'll impress him. Ignore him, but put something in his place. A balloon, floating, adrift, free will. I'll be back after the break. Waggle.
Doris Smith died 3 days later. Mrs. Cookson died 1 year and 7 months later. Andrea Sunbeam died 1 year and 7 months later. Wilma P. Random died 42 years and 11 months later. Dr. Hector O'Connell lives on in paradise.
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace was written by Collins Wash and starred Stephen Moore with Patsy Byrne. Also, Lorelei King, Jeff McGivern, Edna Dore, Melanie Hudson, Chris Douglas, Peter Serfinowicz, and Lewis McLeod. The producer was Richard Wilson.